97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy that you're on here. We have been welcoming new people viewing us on Rumble as we've started our Rumble broadcasts here pretty regularly the past week. And mainly... I should have made that move a long time ago, but we were on Facebook for the longest time, and Facebook just kicked us off for no good reason, and we're in Facebook jail right now. So it's going to be another, I don't know, 15 days before we're allowed to go live on there again. We probably will for the people who are stuck on Facebook. But I'm telling you, Rumble is really easy. You can switch over there. You don't have to have an account. Only if you want to chat do you have to have an account. Or you can just join Rumble. There's no charge. And you can watch the show there. You can chat and follow along with us.
I do like Rumble. And I think what's funny is that there are harsher consequences for people who are put in Facebook jail than actual criminals who should be in jail and are instead roaming our streets and wreaking havoc.
Funny how that happens, isn't it? Yeah. You know, at the top of the hour there, I was watching. There's a live news conference going on with Ron DeSantis down in Florida, obviously about the hurricane. We covered some of that last hour with a meteorologist from Fox who's live down in Tampa. Ron DeSantis is at his best in live emergency situations like that.
Unlike Kamala Harris.
Well, no, true, but not even comparing him to Harris. I mean, that Ron DeSantis is the best Ron DeSantis. He's great at these things. I was listening to him earlier, and he's rattling off cities. He's rattling off expected storm surges. He's warning people here and there to get on the road. He's talking about, you know, if you're going to
flight cancellations.
Yeah,
or
go ahead and spend the money,
airports,
and you're going to get reimbursed by FEMA if you've got to do this, if you've got to do that. He's really just walking people through this right now.
Far out, some of the winds are going, and again, it's not going to be a Category 4 wind 200 miles away, but it's creating tropical conditions, and having flight cancellations or delays is absolutely something.
Anyway, to my point, he just mentioned a minute ago that they're now tracking that this storm is moving a little bit to the east of where they originally thought it was going to hit, which was Apalachicola, which is almost due south of Tallahassee. And he argued that if it ends up 20 to 30 miles east of there, it's going to have more of an impact than where it was headed before. I don't know why, but just if you know somebody living down there, they're really recommending people get on the road if they haven't already to head north and to try to get away from the path of this storm. We'll continue to follow that for you if anything happens. Shannon Bream coming up. Griff Jenkins also at the bottom of the hour at around 8:35. We will get to the Griff, wherever in the world he is this morning. But right now, I want to get to our top stories. Carl Middleman, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Yes, in fact, we have a new whistleblower report tonight, Jesse. Whistleblower with direct knowledge of the Trump campaign and the Secret Service and their interactions tell us that the Secret Service recently told the Trump campaign they could not secure a rally for Donald Trump in the state of Wisconsin.
Wow. Josh Hawley last night on Jesse Waters talking about what's going on with this, the whistleblowers have coming out. The Secret Service is telling Senate one thing, and whistleblowers are telling a very different story about preparedness.
But we're going to have to raise corporate taxes, and we're going to have to make sure that the biggest corporations and billionaires pay their fair share.
Yeah, let me get this straight. We don't know what her plan is, but she's going to charge corporations more, who are then going to pass that expense along to you. But don't worry, because she's on top of price gauging.
Let's just get it done.
And extinguish, you mean vote him out?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Vote him out. Banish him from American politics. Yes, just vote him out.
That's the Commerce Secretary of the United States yesterday calling for Donald Trump to be extinguished. And the host had to come to her rescue and say, you mean just to get him out of office, right? Like, you don't really mean kill him, do you? It's the language on the left continues to raise the stakes in this race.
I truly believe that his legacy will be etched in the history books as
Washington.
Yeah. Sunny Hostin there. She thinks Joe Biden is going to end up like George Washington in the history books. She said it. I really don't know who watches that show. I'm glad somebody records it and puts it up on the web so that we can grab bites like that off of it. So you can just shake your head.
Nancy Pelosi thinks that Biden's face belongs up there at Mount Rushmore. So yeah. There's that. I guess they're all in agreement that he's somehow going down in the history books.
Yeah, this is true.
Maybe he's the worst president in our lifetime, in my lifetime.
Yeah, you know, I also picked this up yesterday, and it's something that I wanted to mention because it's been in the news this week. Laura Ingraham was talking about it. Listen to this.
Well, turns out George Soros is asking the FCC to fast-track his nationwide radio network takeover. According to the New York Post, foreign company ownership of U.S. radio stations is not allowed to exceed 25%, but a filing acquired by the Post details Soros is asking the commission to make an exception.
Yeah, and the FCC supposedly voted last week along party lines to grant that exception, although that vote has not been made public yet, and it's not official. Obviously, we're following this because it affects the parent company of 97.1, so we're keeping a close eye on this. The important thing here, regardless of what you've heard about this, is that whatever it is not some sort of a controlling interest. Like, this is out of a bankruptcy situation. It's an investment of about, I don't know, 30 or 40% of the stock, but it's not a controlling interest. And if you need to hear it from anybody other than us, it will have no impact on what we do here. And the minute it does, I'll be the first one you'll hear that from.
Yeah, and you're a man of your word, so you would be very transparent about that.
Absolutely. So whatever rumors or anything else you hear, you heard it from our mouth first. I just want to be sure that people are very clear on that situation, because it is concerning, and why the FCC would vote that way, I don't know. But it was a party line vote among the appointees on the Federal Communications Commission, for sure. All right, coming up, we've got Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday, talk a little bit about the vice presidential debate that's coming up on Tuesday. Want to get her reaction to that. Maybe talk to her about Melania being on Fox and Friends this morning as well. We'll be right back.
You don't know. You don't know what really happened. And then a few weeks later, there's another attempt on your husband's life at your golf course. Where were you, and what was your reaction to this attempt?
I was in New York City, actually, and I saw it on the television. And as soon as I saw it on television, I called again, and he was okay, because Secret Service were great. The guys that they were with him, they were fantastic.
There's only one Shannon.
Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday. Shannon, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. Great. How are you guys?
I'm doing fine. I was just playing a little bit of the Melania Trump interview from Fox and Friends this morning.
Yes. I mean, can you imagine being in this position? I mean, whether you're a first lady or former first lady for a Democrat or Republican president, like, you've got to be worried about your spouse at all times, or first gentleman, I should add. And to have to walk through that as a family has got to be terrifying. And to have two attempts on your husband's life within weeks, I mean, it's just got to rattle you to the very core.
Well, I mean, I was glad to see her coming and speaking out a little bit. I mean, I think that she's maligned in the mainstream media. The value of her relationship with her husband is maligned in the mainstream media pretty often. And you watch her sit there. I don't know if it's because she's an immigrant, maybe it's the accent, but she speaks five languages. The woman is brilliant, and the media, the mainstream, not you guys, but the mainstream media has never given her her due, I don't think.
And the thing is, she's literally kind of a supermodel. Would think this would be the kind of person that you would want on your magazines and celebrating as sort of an American fashion icon. And I do think, because most of the, you know, the fashion media and that kind of thing, they're obviously not going to be fans of Donald Trump. Although, listen, they were years ago when he was kind of the toast of the town in New York before he got into politics. I think she takes some of the brunt of that and doesn't get her full due. And, you know, first ladies, generally, we like to think of them as sort of neutral topics. I mean, somebody that they have their own causes and the things that they work on and that they are able to have access to different audiences in a way differently than their husbands do. But I think that I think it's fair to say she got sort of the short end of that stick.
Yeah. What are your expectations leading up to this VP debate? Because Mark and I have been talking about it, and we feel like J.D. Vance is just going to run circles around Tim Walz.
Well, I'll be so interested. We know a lot more about J.D. Vance. I've obviously interacted with him a lot more over the years as a senator and when, you know, even in his heyday as a best-selling author. So I feel like we know him and we know his style, and he does, you know, tough adversarial interviews all the time. We see him in action. I don't know that much about how Governor Walz will be in this kind of format. I remember, you know, the 2016 debate and thinking Tim Kaine was a sort of a different person than I thought when he got into that debate, because these VP contenders are really supposed to be sort of the attack dogs. They're the ones who can really go for the jugular and sort of that's kind of part of their role as being the VP on the ticket. So I am fascinated to see how these two are going to match up.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And, you know, Vance has been speaking out about a lot of things, including what's going on in the Middle East. Go to cut to 12, Carl, please, for us.
The details for how Donald Trump is going to end the war in Ukraine is by not being weak and not being dumb, which is unfortunately something you can't say for the current administration. It's very simple. Russia didn't invade a single one of their neighbors for the 4 years that Donald Trump was president. And on the president before him and the president after him, somehow Russia keeps on invading their neighbors. It's because they don't respect American leadership and because our leaders aren't smart.
Wow. I think Vance is strong on this issue, but Vladimir Zelensky is meeting with President Biden today, right?
Yeah, and, you know, there's been a lot made of the fact that he was taken to Pennsylvania, obviously a huge battleground state. He met with the governor there. He's signing the missiles. They're signing these missiles together. And a lot of blowback, as I'm sure you guys have covered on Capitol Hill, about, you know, essentially a foreign leader coming here and looking as if they're campaigning for one of the current candidates for the presidency. So there's been a lot of, you know, backlash on Capitol Hill about that and some demands for answers about how this was funded and that kind of thing. But listen, you know, Zelensky is in a fight for his country's life. And there are many questions here stateside about how much of a U.S. obligation there is to try to support a democracy in the middle of, you know, this terrible, unprovoked incursion by Russia. But listen, Ukraine's also known for having corruption, and there are questions about the money and tracking it and accountability. And these are taxpayer dollars. So plenty of discussion there as this meeting takes place today.
Yeah. Any great guests booked already for this weekend?
We are going to have Senator Katie Britt with us. She's going to be with the president this week, the former president this weekend, as he is kind of doing, you know, campaigning and getting to the states that he thinks he needs to shore up and ones that they think are in play as well. And we should have the other side booked very shortly. I think one of her Democrat counterparts from the Senate is going to come on, too, as we got to discuss about are they going to blow up the filibuster for abortion.
Unbelievable. I can't even believe they're entertaining that again. That's crazy.
We'll discuss.
Shannon, thank you.
Thanks. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday. You can listen to it at 4 p.m. right here on 97.1 on Sunday. Got you covered. We're also carrying that vice presidential debate here on the air on 97.1, just so you know. Up next, we'll get to our buddy Griff Jenkins. Stick around.
What would a Harris administration do for those communities who've taken in many, many legal immigrants but are at capacity?
Well, first of all, we do have a broken immigration system, and it needs to be.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch it.
Are you on the border, or you're not hanging from a tree in Florida somewhere, are you? Like, hanging on for dear life?
I got to tell you, I just was getting my hair and makeup done this morning, and the great artist, Jessica, was putting me together this morning, so I look respectable. We were watching the hurricane stuff, and she said, are you disappointed you're not in Tallahassee? I said, oh, let me tell you, there's just something about it. And when you've been in those hurricanes, the closest I ever came to being really in trouble covering a hurricane was actually in whatever, I can't even remember what hurricane it was, Michael or one of those, years ago that hit Tallahassee pretty hard. And I was just south of there on a point called Alligator Point, the southernmost part, and it basically went underwater, and we had to basically climb trees, and we got very lucky to barely get out. But I mean, Wow. Even the local sheriff was like, we can't come get you. You're on your own. But I do fear, honestly, and say a little prayer for people in Tallahassee if this is a Cat 2 or stronger that hits there. Because one thing that people don't realize is Tallahassee, for whatever reason, is really got a lot of pine trees and tall trees. And when it hits there, it has a different kind of effect than we kind of see in other places in Florida because of the dense trees. So that adds to the problem.
So I'm going to make you expand on that story a little bit. You had to climb a tree, and you were stuck in a tree for how long?
Well, we're watching the storm surges, and I was climbing the tree partially because the water was coming up and coming over houses, but also because we were looking for any area where the water was not taking, you know, full control to get our vehicle out. But I mean, there was a white knuckled holding on 10 and 2 on the steering wheel as the water was coming up, literally even with our windshield and our door, wondering when the car was going to give out. And it was giving a choo 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 choo. We're like, oh, don't die.
Wow.
And we fortunately made it out and raced out of there. But, you know, it is so true. The old saying, you know, turn around, don't drown. Yeah. Flooding, yeah, in the storm surge they're predicting, because that's the key here, the storm surge, not the wind as much. The storm surge is potentially catastrophic down there. So I'm thinking about those people, but I do kind of, part of me wishes I was down there getting soaked right now. Meanwhile, by the way, I'm in Washington, not only dealing with the border crisis, but also everything else happening. We've got the assassination attempt hearing going on. We've got Zelensky on Capitol Hill now, then headed to the White House. It's like, you know, it's that famous guitar from the great movie Spinal Tap that, yeah, goes to 11. Our news cycle goes to 11 now.
Yeah.
Every day. Just roll out of bed, it's 11.
Well, and now you have Eric Adams, who's just been indicted, right? I mean, it's just like the news cycle has been on extreme levels, it seems. I know it's always busy, but it feels like the last few months, oh my gosh, you're going to have to fill up the entire history book with just how much has happened in those few months.
Great point, Kim. And it's not only that New York Mayor Eric Adams got indicted. He did a pre-taped interview that said, if they come and get me, here's why. Because I went against them on the migrant crisis. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And, you know, let's not forget, and I'm going to throw this out there now, but there is always a chance that the indictment of Eric Adams has an impact on the balance of power in Congress. One of the main reasons Democrats lost control of the House last cycle was because of a poor performance in New York. And there are multiple seats around New York City and elsewhere in New York which are on the edge this fall. It would not take much of a tip of any of them one way or the other.
Wow.
That New Yorkers could put the House heavily in play. And don't think for a second that New York House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries isn't terrified about the potential repercussions. Okay. It's yet to be seen, but if it does, you heard it here first.
I'm going to be watching whatever reports you end up on today, and I want you to do us a favor. We're going to do a little test here. I want you to work in the word holistic into your report. Did you hear Kamala yesterday? Listen to this, Griff. Listen.
And looking holistically at the connection between that and housing. And looking holistically at the incentives we in the federal government can create for local and state governments to actually engage in planning in a holistic manner that includes prioritizing affordable housing.
I mean, that's a whole lot of nothing in a 30-second soundbite.
I'm so like trying to figure out what it is that she means by choosing that. I mean, like, I honestly, it doesn't make sense on the face of it. She doesn't really explain it, and she wasn't really pressed on. I would have stopped her and said, "What do you mean, holistic medicine?" And you go to the, by the way, the holistic aisle at the grocery store has been there for, I don't know, how long have we had them? Like 10 years?
Holistic medicines.
Like, do you ever see anybody buying anything on those shelves?
Never, ever.
Like, it was an interesting choice of words to use.
Well, it's, I had to look, I looked it up because I know what the word holistic meant in general, but it says, characterized by the belief that the parts of something are interconnected and can be explained only by the reference to the whole, unburdened by the past. That's what it says right here.
Well, there's that unburdened by what has been. I mean, like, literally. I think she's succeeding a little bit in convincing, particularly maybe independent voters that are sort of coming late to say, oh, okay, what are my choices this year with only 40-something days to go? I think she's doing a good job maybe of maintaining this new way forward and forget about I'm the sitting current vice president. But then she really does herself a disfavor with this whole odd word salad. I mean, it's like at one point, you know, as a reporter, you were, you know, thinking, well, if I say it's word salad, maybe it's not truly unbiased. But I don't know how else you describe some of the things that come out of her mouth than word salads, because it's left everybody scratching their head, looking at each other, trying to figure out what it is that she means.
I hope a reporter, the next one who interviews her, which may never happen again because they're far and few between, I hope they say, what does that even mean? People say you give us a lot of word salad. What's your reaction to that? Has any reporter or anchor actually said that those words to her?
Yeah, but I'd like to see her respond. She grew up in a middle-class family.
Kim, it encompasses the whole of a thing, not just the parts. So when we look at the parts, you have to encompass the whole thing. Otherwise, it's just one of the parts of the larger thing.
Okay, well, that makes sense then.
Thank you. I mean, spelling that out, Griff. Yeah. We appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. You guys have a great weekend, and we'll see what happens in the next 24 hours. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, we sure will. All right, thank you. Griff Jenkins there live in Washington this morning, not in the middle of a hurricane.
Well, I'm glad. What a crazy story about him climbing a tree and watching the storm come in. My gosh.
Hey, coming up, there are some ads running on local TV that apparently are concerning some of our local journalists, because while they're out there reporting on the truth, they often don't want you to see the truth, apparently, and I'm going to run some of those ads for you coming back here in just a minute, dealing with abortion. We'll be right back.
Are there any states where women face prosecution for having an abortion?
No.
Are there any states that criminalize miscarriage?
No.
Or the care for any for a miscarriage?
No.
Are there any states that criminalize removing an ectopic pregnancy?
No.
Are there any states that prohibit life-saving care for the mother?
No.
Are there any states where women have to be actively dying for a doctor to be able to act for her care?
No.
Say it louder for the people in the back, please.
Thank you. That is Senator James Lankford at a hearing, and he had an expert sitting on the panel asking and blowing the truth up on these lies they're telling about Amendment 3, with the ads you see running that somehow women are having to live in dark corners of their room and they're dying at a greater rate because of these awful draconian abortion laws and you can't get a DNC. That's the big lie that's going on right now. And I'm glad to see Lankford and somebody standing up telling the truth.
I've seen people saying, oh, these women are bleeding out in the parking lots. That is not because they were not allowed to get care, just as you heard that person testify.
Yeah.
There is nothing that prevents that care. That is ridiculous to say that you're not going to get the care you need, a DNC, if you had a miscarriage.
So the guy running for president in the Constitution Party is a guy named Randall Terry. And he's running for president. His vice president is Stephen Brodin. And they've made it onto the ballot in about 20 states. Not Missouri, obviously. But they have, because they're on the ballot in 20 states, they can run ads nationwide. They've been fundraising. And here's what they've chosen to do. they want to try to get the attention of people who are Catholic and whose faith tells them to be against abortion, and they want to get the attention of black voters. So they're running some ads on the TV here in St. Louis that speak to those issues. Here's one of them. Listen.
What is the leading cause of death in the black community? AIDS, cancer, stroke, heart disease, accidents, maybe violent crime or diabetes? None of the above. The leading cause of death for blacks is abortion. An abortion rate 5 times higher than any other race. If you're black, and you vote for Amendment 3 in Missouri, you're voting for black genocide.
I'm Randall Terry, and I approve this message.
Wow. That's powerful. And how many people know that? How many people do you think know that who only hear you got to go vote yes on Amendment 3? It's for women's rights. Did you know that abortion is the leading cause of death among black people? Did you know that?
And by the way, that was the way that the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, intended it. She
Correct.
Had ties to the KKK. She believed in eugenics. Guys, she wanted to get rid of the black population. The organization that so many liberals and some arguably conservatives want to support, Planned Parenthood, that is the reason that she started the organization that is providing all of those abortions.
And here's what they don't like. In the background of that TV ad that runs, there are pictures of children that have been aborted. Little hands, little feet. These are images that the abortionists don't want you to see because it's the truth about abortion. There's nothing misleading about the ads. They simply state the facts. But it's the video in the background that is bothering people, right? A local reporter tweeted out yesterday that we're running a disturbing ad on our air, and there's nothing we can do about it because the FCC says if they've qualified in certain states, they can run it, and you have to run it if they pay for the TV time.
TMJ4 News, which is in Milwaukee, they also are running the ad, and they even did a whole story, a news story of their viewers reacting to it, I guess, because they received so much pushback after it started airing. And what's wild to me, Mark, is that something that people support like abortion, okay, it is gruesome. It is the murder of an innocent baby. How can you possibly support something that is so disturbing that you have to then warn your viewers about it? Think about that for a second. Make that make sense. It doesn't.
Wow. No, it doesn't. Here's the other ad that I want you to hear that they're running. This one is powerful as well. With those same images in the background, everybody that I think if you think you're pro-choice, you should find these ads online and look for them. In fact, you can go to Randall Terry's website, terry2024.com, and they're all on there. You can watch them. Listen to this.
Did you know that in nearly 70% of abortions, women are coerced?
Pedophiles, pimps, and rapists use abortion to cover their crimes.
If you vote for Amendment 3,
you're an accessory to sex traffickers
and predators who abuse women. You're voting to murder innocent babies. You will have blood on your hands. Vote no on Amendment 3.
I'm Randall Terry, and I approve this message.
I think it's powerful he's putting those ads out. I just wanted to point to something I just saw in the Babylon Bee. And obviously what we're talking about is very sad, abortion, and something you and I are staunchly against, Mark. But the Babylon Bee puts out, unborn babies disguise selves as death row inmates so liberals will defend their right to live.
Or maybe riot or loot as a result of
BLM,
not getting what
man.
They want?
Go as BLM rioters, and they'll care more about your life than this innocent baby's life.
So here's the deal. Tomorrow, the voter guide will be out. I'm going to put the finishing touches on it today. We'll get it posted up to the website and the Facebook page for you by tomorrow morning. And then we'll talk about it on the air, what my choices are. Listen, there are five amendments on the ballot if you're in Missouri this year, and there's a proposition. There's five amendments and a proposition you need to be familiar with before you walk into the voting booth. That's in addition to all of the other local issues that'll be on there, and of course, the governor's race and the lieutenant governor and the treasurer and all that stuff. You need to be familiar with what these are. It's a long ballot, one of the longest we've had in a long time. So I'm going to help you out with my voter guide starting tomorrow. So tune into the show tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. and we'll be talking about that, and we'll tell you where you can get your copy. You'll be able to download it and take it with you when you vote. Or maybe you're voting from home and you need a copy of it. We'll have that for you tomorrow morning. Brian Kilmeade coming up next, folks. Have a great Thursday. Kim and Carl and Sue and I will see you right back here at 5 a.m. Friday morning.
Get more at 971talk.com.